latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on them Twitter streets. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
I'm just sitting over here jealous, Shane. I'm jealous of you, as always. But once again,
yeah!
Shout out, Cousin Ollie.
Oh, yeah. You know, the beer barrel may be retired, but the bourbon bet lives on. And there's a lot of my Kentucky foes that disappeared the last couple of seasons, but one has stuck around since day one, and that's Big Blue Ollie. So, Ollie, thank you, cuz, for sending this. This will stay on the shelf. I got asked several people. They say, hey, you going to open that up? I said, I'm going to open up that on one of two conditions. One, them Tennessee Vols win a natty, or two, we sign a multi-million dollar deal. So both may never happen, Mike, but I will tell you, this bottle right here, I will always be extremely grateful for Ollie. Thank you, cuz.
Yeah, so we're, it sounds like we're never drinking it.
No. Next year's our year.
Oh, buddy. Well, I'll tell you what, Shane. It's always your year.
Yeah?
If you run over to my bookie and go check them out. Presenting sponsor of the show this football season. Promo code SEC over at my bookie. If you start up a new account, they're willing to give you a guaranteed buyback wager of up to $500. It's about the value of that damn bottle you just showed us. Go over there and check them out. Mybookie.ag is the website. Promo code SEC. And man, the only way Ollie could have done a little bit better, Shane.
Yeah.
We got you some Tennessee legend. Come on, buddy.
Oh, you know he's about to get a hookup if Kentucky does ever beat us. And it's coming straight from our boys and girls over at Tennessee Legend Distillery. And you ain't got to wait for that miracle to happen, Mike. You can go on down to Sevierville and get yourself a bottle. Let them know the cousin sent you. Not only going to get a discount, but you will get a bonus gift as well. And we've had a lot of cousins, Mike, ask, how can we get this in our hometown? Just go down to your package store. Tell them they need it on the shelves and they will reach out. And if you can't for some reason, you be sure to let us know and we will let Tennessee Legend work out the fine details.
Yeah, fine details. Oh, buddy. All right, so hey, I thought we were gonna get some playoff rankings reveal.
Yeah,
but I forgot, and quite honestly I didn't know that this is so stupid how they do this to me every year, Shane. Where instead of like just keeping it normal,
yeah,
going on schedule, they're like, hey, mm-hmm. I got a great idea. Let's put it in the middle of two basketball games. Yeah. So we literally don't know when it'll be.
Right.
But I think the basketball game just started, so it's going to be a while. And then they wait for that to be over, and then they do the playoff, and then they get to the other game. So I don't know when the hell this will be, but in about 2 hours, I'll hop back on and we'll break it all down. But for now, we got some games to break down, Shane. You know what?
Absolutely. They got to put Kirk Herbstreit's dog to bed and make sure everything's lined up. Speaking of bed, Mike, look at these games. We got some doozies, don't we? I know there's some sleepers in here, but I will say, man, I say this every time we get to this week, because this is the week right before my favorite week of college football.
Yeah.
It's one that we want 3 weeks from now, right? It's one we want 10 weeks from now. So, yeah, you better damn believe I'm going to be watching every single minute of this. But, yeah, there's some dudes this weekend.
Let me ask you this, though, real quick. I don't want to sidetrack you, but we're talking Thanksgiving. We're talking I mean, my goodness, Shane. I need to bring this up, the schedule for it. But while I look that up, let me ask what I was going to ask you. Is this cheating, Shane? Because this is what I've been doing the last couple of years, and I think this is the only way to do it. And I don't think I can be talked off this ledge, but if there's one man that could talk me off it, maybe it's you.
Yes.
For the last several Thanksgivings, what I do, of course, I live in Nashville. There's a lot of good options, right?
Yes.
I'll go and I'll get it like, I don't make any of the food.
Yeah.
I go and buy it from a nice restaurant. And yeah, it's a little expensive, but you're overpaying for the convenience, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And once you do that, I don't think you'll ever go back. Am I crazy for doing my Thanksgiving like that?
Not not crazy, right? But knowing your roots and where we come from, Mike, it is a little crazy, right? Because you still have some fantastic chefs in your kitchen, if you will.
And I don't.
I bet you can find them. You know, this may be a mic problem more than a food problem, but I get it. It's a little bit tougher now that Mamaw's not around making our meals and enjoying those moments. And by God, if you're listening right now and you got a Mamaw out there, it's still doing this. You better be there. There should not be any excuse. I would love nothing more than the whole family to have one more opportunity to go over at Mamaw and Papaw's and eat a Thanksgiving meal. But that being said, Mike, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't hate the idea, especially your location. It's one thing to say, hey, let's go down to the Golden Trough down here and have a Thanksgiving meal. You know, they're having it up here at the Old Mill in Pigeon Forge. That seems like a fine establishment for a Thanksgiving meal. And I get that. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't do that. I'll never do that in my lifetime. But I will say that I do reach out for auxiliary meal or auxiliary items, if you will, like country ham. Have you ever had honey baked ham? Right. I think they've nailed it. They've perfected the recipe. So why should I try to compete with the best? So I get that as kind of a side meat, if you will, for Thanksgiving. So, I have no problems with a Nashville fine dining. But, you know, where I'm at, Jefferson County, there's limited action. So I probably may be a little more judgmental on you.
I mean, this is what I got right here. Edley's, my favorite, right down the street.
Oh, shit. I mean, you know, it's Edley's, for Christ's sake.
And I mean, yeah, I just show up, I pick all this up, come home and heat it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't be talked off this, you know what?
Well, but there's also something fun about the whole deal, right? The family in the kitchen, it's the whole day kind of deal that, you know, you smell that turkey from the moment you walk into the house to, you know what I'm saying? So there's a little bit of that you're kind of missing and you're losing, but It's tough to compete with Edley's because they're professionals, not sponsors of the show, but they should be as much as you talk about them. But I have no argument there. It's like I said, it's the Golden Trough. It's a Cracker Barrel. It's, you know, those things. Get that out of here.
James says too late. Shane already just sidetracked. You can tell by the look on his face.
I was just thinking, man. I was just thinking about, I've got this on TikTok, right? Now that we're trying to promote TikTok. So if you haven't, that SEC podcast, TikTok, check it out. But on my personal one, I've got a collection of, it's just Thanksgiving side dishes. And man, I've been too traditional. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I've always done the same thing for Thanksgiving, and I'm looking at some of these fancy side dishes. I'm like, hey, maybe we bring one of these in the mix.
Well, before we lose you completely to Thanksgiving, so here's what I was talking about. Yeah, this week, not great schedule, but next week, good night, Shane. Those games, they're on the left. Those are all Friday games.
Oh, wow.
The Egg Bowl, Georgia Tech, Texas A&M at Texas. Literally every single one of these has playoff implications. And then Saturday's not to be outdone, brother. Clemson, South Carolina, Kentucky, Louisville, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, LSU, Oklahoma, Missouri versus Arkansas, Florida State, Florida, and then the Iron Bowl at night. Dang near all of those have some form of playoff implication as well. So I just want the cousins to know this week is like, it's nothing but an appetizer for what is to come for this Thanksgiving Day feast we're about to be served in a week's time. You know what?
It's like them wonky deviled eggs your wife doesn't want to put out. You know, it's like, it's just not pretty enough, but you'll eat them, right? You know, so that's what we're going to do. The wonky deviled eggs is coming up this weekend. And I will say this, and I say it every single year about this time, Mike. Egg Bowl should be on Thanksgiving. If not the Egg Bowl, I think Texas A&M should be on Thanksgiving. And maybe bring one of those Saturday games up. There's no reason that I should have to choose between games this weekend when we could actually play football every single day.
Well, the problem with that, Shane, the NFL's kind of taking Thanksgiving.
I know.
And should Should the Egg Bowl, should the state of Mississippi, the state of Texas, should they cater to what we want? Or should they cater to the people that go to the games, you know? So I see it both ways, but I would imagine most of those families appreciate having the holiday to spend with each other.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be thankful if they'd put at least the Egg Bowl back on Thanksgiving.
Right, but if they moved Tennessee Vanderbilt to Thanksgiving, would you ever go?
Yes.
I think you'd spend it with your family because I know how much you love that food.
We're just eating earlier, you know? That's it. Thanksgiving brunch.
All right, well, let's get back into reality, Shane, because we got these games to get into. Let's start with Missouri at Oklahoma. The website I use for my previews is down, so I can't even get the information. So shout out CFB Graphs. I got some information here for Missouri at Oklahoma. But all we really need to know, Shane, Missouri can run the football like no one's business, and Oklahoma's great at stopping it. So strength on strength, this is going to be one hell of a matchup. Sounds like Bo Prabula may play. They're keeping it very coy down there, Shane. But let me ask you this.
Yeah?
Do you remember the 1966 Missouri-Oklahoma game?
I've got it hanging on my wall right over it. No, I'm just kidding. I know.
Because that year, Missouri beat Oklahoma 10-7 back in 1966. You have any idea why I'm bringing up 1966?
Did it ruin somebody's chance for a championship run?
No.
No. No.
That was the last time that Missouri beat Oklahoma in Norman. 1966.
Dang.
59 years ago. So history not on Missouri's side. Of course, you know, they've been in a different conference the last couple years, so that's not totally fair. But point being, Oklahoma generally wins this one in Norman, right? So, man, this is a real opportunity for drinking company to play the spoiler. As Drink would say, we got bowl championships on the line. You could secure yourself one hell of a bowl game. And fair to say, Shane, this is this would be, unquestionably, this would be the best win of the season for Missouri.
Yeah.
And quite possibly the best win of the Eli Drinkwitz era. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, I told you, the old championship game, we'll call it. And the fact, I hate when there's a stat that's never happened in my life, right? If I'm in my 40s and then you're telling me this game has never been won in Norman, that just makes me, that, you know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, never in my life? So I feel like there's obviously going to be a little extra mustard on this game, if you will. But I feel like Drink and company quietly need this, right? Especially Drink. As much talk as we've given him about other jobs and, you know, the everything he's been able to do there in Columbia, I feel like a big game is definitely needed, and on the road in Oklahoma is probably as big as it gets right now. So, and then on the other side, there's obviously, we know exactly what these guys are fighting for their damn lives to get to the college football playoffs. And if they keep doing exactly what they've been doing, they're going to show it.
Is there any chance that, you know, Oklahoma was so geared up being the underdog at Tennessee, you getting a bye week being the underdog at Alabama, that now you're looking beyond Missouri? You're like, we got this. They don't even have their quarterback, which may not be true. He could be back. But is there a chance that Oklahoma overlooks Missouri? Because if Missouri can get that ground game going, they're a tricky team to beat.
I mean, but isn't that in all of us, especially Sooner fans, that you're sitting there, you went on the road, you got that big win in Knoxville, and then Alabama. Yeah. I mean, there's just a natural, finally, we're at home. We're in cruise control, right? You know what I'm saying? And I feel like it, to say that can't happen in the locker room, you're lying to yourself, because if I'm feeling it, you're feeling it, the fans are feeling it, that locker room's feeling it, and that's why this is such a tough test for them. This isn't a trap game, Mike. This is a great football game that if Oklahoma comes in limping or expecting to win, then by God, they're going to have exactly what happened to them the last time these two teams faced.
But if you really want to talk about distractions, Shane,
yeah,
we got old Eli Drinkwitz. What about all this job speculation?
Two things I want to address real quick just before we get going. Number one, job rumors. I'm not going to comment on message board chatters, tweets, sources. I've maintained with you and our team that my complete focus is on the task at hand. You know, last week, people were tired of me because I couldn't win the big game. People had me meeting with my team and telling them that I was going to another school, none of which were true. Now this week it's a different story because we scored the second most points in the SEC this year at 49. So, all of this stuff is just a distraction. You know, I would like to remind everybody, including our fans, we absolutely love Mizzou. We love what we're building. We've been to six straight bowl games. We've got the sellout streak going. Our administration has been nothing but phenomenal to me. The alignment that we have with our president, President Choi, his support for our program, his support in what we're trying to build. Todd Graves, the head of the Board of Curators, has been tremendous since he started on the board and is always looking for ways to improve our athletic department. Bob Blitz has been a guy that was instrumental in rebuilding the North End Zone and being on the forefront of the Athletics Committee. Laird Beach has been great to work with on a day-to-day basis. Since I've been here, I've signed multiple extensions. In fact, I signed one this past summer. So all the speculation is really a tribute to them, and it's a tribute to our team's success and their commitment to our team. And that's where my focus is going to remain, on our team and our current situation, and I'm not going to get into all that stuff because, again, it's just a distraction.
Excellent point, Shane, by old serial killer. Solid black sweater by Drink. Raiders next? I mean, it wasn't a Mizzou sweatshirt, but I love the fact he said, hey, I'm not going to comment on this. And then he's 2 minutes, opens his presser. Hey, let me tell you about this. How you going?
Let me tell you what I've accomplished here on the hill.
And in all that,
yeah,
I didn't hear. I'll be here next year. I'm your coach. He didn't say it, did he?
No. Because you hear some of the coaches, what's his name? The SMU guy, right? He's come out and told you, I'm here. I'm back, baby. I'm taking it, you know? And you're not hearing that. You're not hearing that from Lane. You're not hearing it from Drink. You know, these guys are just... it's to a smaller version up there in Columbia, but it's still a non-answer, you know? So I think we're all just kind of wait and see what happens. It's almost like we're waiting to see where this guy goes so this guy can go here, or if this happens, I'm staying. It's like double dutch. You ever seen that double dutch? Like, I hated that gym class because I knew my fat ass was going to get caught up in them ropes, and I'm just sitting there like this. What are we doing?
Let me ask you this, though. And I don't know that there's really a great answer here.
Yeah. JP says ranking shows start now.
Is that right?
JP's only lied to me once, and I hope it's not twice, JP.
Okay, let me ask you this, and then I'll look it up.
Yeah.
If he beats Oklahoma, huge if. Again, could be his biggest win to date. Is that more likely he stays, or more likely he leaves because Penn State or Florida or whoever and be like, damn, we gotta get this Drink, you know?
I feel like if he wins, he's out. I feel like I just, because I'm like you, it's man, I don't know. Maybe we got this guy and this guy, right? Yeah, they both did great in their interviews. The money's right. Look what they've done. And then all of a sudden you get the biggest win in the SEC this weekend. I feel like we're saying we got to get him before so-and-so gets him. You know, we got to do this before Mizzou gives him more money. So, I feel like deep down inside, if I'm just being honest, and maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe it's because I want to see chaos in this SEC world, but I feel like a win almost inks the deal somewhere else.
And all right, let me ask you this too.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, I mean, they're a lock based on the comments, based on these great fans. But you just said it yourself. This is a wild ass season.
Yeah.
And actually, I got the ESPN right now. It's definitely not the playoff reveal, just a heads up. But what's your confidence level that Oklahoma gets this done? I mean, how close are we to 100% confident?
Oh, I don't think we're 100% at all. I don't like either one of these games, to be honest with you. I'm not saying they're quite 50-50, but I'm thinking 65 on the first game, you know, maybe 75 on the other. So, you know, you kind of do the difference there. So I'd say 45% sure that they win out. That's kind of where I'm at. Not quite 50-50. Yeah. I feel like these are two tough teams that they got a lot to play for here, and this is kind of their championship, if you will.
Right, and I would say the strength of Missouri, the strength of LSU is their defense.
Yeah.
The weakness of Oklahoma is their offense. And, you know, Mateer's playing better. We have seen him, though, be careless with the football. And what happens if he has an off game and they can't run the football? Then we get into this an ugly mess.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just it's a pick six here. It's a punt return there. I mean, there's a path for them to get upset. I really do think, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. But, and you know, everything Oklahoma shouldn't be in this spot in your mind, because if I would have mine and yours, I guess we were pretty close to the start of the season. But I just feel like, after, I don't know, week five, week six, I really had some doubts, you know, about Oklahoma's future as far as playoffs. I'm like, yeah, they're doing great now, but they still got Bama. They still got to go to Tennessee, you know. They're going to lose those games. And then now you're like, oh, shit, man. They got those. And Mizzou's, you know, they're out of the college football playoff run. LSU fired their coach. There's no reason it shouldn't happen, but it's 2025, Mike. They could literally lose both these games.
Yeah, well, you know who I have all the confidence in, Shane?
Who's that?
The legend, Cousin JR, has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He gifted a real Texan. Texan.
Welcome to the family. Figured he whooped up on him. Might as well give him a little membership.
And then all day, Trey.
There he is.
He gifted Jet Jones. Jet.
Welcome to the family.
All right. Well, hey, speaking of Texas.
Yeah.
Let's skip down to old Texas, Shane. Because, now I feel like it's been a disappointment, right? I mean, this is 7-3, preseason number one. Arch Manning, God's gift to football. He's going to win 3 Heismans this year. Old Sarkisian, is he cracking a little bit here, Shane? We got a quick clip. Hey, Sark, has this been a disappointment?
You're right, Kurt. Steve, what would you say the main reasons are this team is underachieved?
According to who?
Well, when you're preseason number one, I think most people would agree 3 losses is not achieving what you are capable of.
I mean, I guess that's into who voted us number one, okay? What I think is that this team has competed their tail off. They've been faced with a lot of different adversity and injuries, and a lot of stuff has come across this team's plate. And I'm very, very proud of them with their resiliency. You know, at the end of the day, at the University of Texas, we're held to a very high standard. And the standard is to compete for championships year in and year out. And we're going to play the best teams in the country. We're going to schedule the best teams in the country. But by the end of the season, we'll play, of our 12 regular season opponents, 5 of those teams will be top 10 teams when we played them. So nearly half our schedule. And we have an opportunity at the end of the regular season to do something that nobody's done since 2019. And that's beat 3 top 10 ranked teams in the regular season. Last team to do that was LSU with Joe Burrow. So have we been faced with a pretty difficult schedule? Have we been faced with high expectations? Sure, but that's why we came here. So we'll be okay.
Shout out Tev.
Not like this.
Has Sark had a good press conference this year? This
can we go back to the bathroom, you know?
Yeah. Nothing's going to top that one, you know what?
No. According to who, you know? Yeah. No, the expectations are there. I mean, I didn't see you deflecting them at the start of the season. You know, you embraced them, and, you know, you use this as a recruiting tool. But at the end of the day, yeah, it's been disappointing. Absolutely. So, yeah, but you were still in the mix, Mike. You were in the mix. You lost it last week, and I feel like going into Athens with a 100% healthy football team reflects directly on, you know, what this coaching staff has done with this team up to this point.
Right, and then, you know, again, it's easy to look ahead. We already did it on this show, Shay. We got this awesome game with A&M upcoming, but we got Arkansas first. They're coming to town, and this is a series that is getting renewed. They used to play it all the time. Now it's been sparingly, but it's back now, Shane. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the Razorbacks are a dangerous team, as much as you may want to mock their record, and we have done it. I mean, they are in all these damn ball games. A hurting, limping Texas team.
Yeah,
I think they're on upset watch this week. I'm not saying they're going to lose, but it wouldn't stun me if they drop this one. What's your thoughts?
No, because, I mean, it really just depends on what Arkansas team shows up. I don't know if you got any of Petrino's comments, but they were, I mean, you thought that last conversation was deflating. It feels like a little bit that Arkansas is just barely hanging on right now. So if they were able to get grounded and play, you know, elite offense like we've seen them do at times. Yeah, this could absolutely be a loss, man. I mean, you talk about a big one, right? Yeah, one that we're giving Sark a hard time for losing in Athens. By God, you lose to Arkansas with an interim coach.
Is there any shot, Shane?
Yeah.
And again, this seems very slim. But if Texas were to lose to Arkansas and A&M?
Yeah.
Is there any shot Sark is not returning in 26?
I don't think Texas would not have him back, right? But it would not blow my mind if Sark found another opportunity. If he's staying in college football, though, I'm not leaving Austin.
Yeah.
Forget what these damn reporters say and this fat bastard in East Tennessee. I don't care, you know, because I'm in a perfect spot to win championships. I mean, we're talking about a football team that has been to the playoff the last two seasons, right? So I'm not totally panicking here, but I feel like the if I'm judging Sark, it's not on the comments. It's not on the wins and loss even. It's this offense, because the one reason that I hung the hat saying that Sark is one of the best coaches in the conference, in the country, was because of what he can do with offenses. And the lack of that growth this season is a direct reflection of Steve Sarkisian. So if we're re-power ranking coaches, he's been docked a little bit for this season because of that.
Yeah, and you know, we always, you know, you make these kind of jokes. This is not the season Arkansas would have wanted, of course. But if, again, huge if they were able to get this one, Shane, beat Texas, after all the preseason discussion, all offseason, you know, number one, if you would have told Arkansas fans, hey, you may go 3-9, but you're winning in Austin. I bet you some of them. I'm not saying majority of them or anything, but I bet you some of them would be like, sign me up.
Yeah, them old bastards from 1960.
Don't you think? I mean, again, it's like, will this be a good season regardless? Of course not, but there's something there to be proud about.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what we're looking at. You even pointed out how many close games. I think, 18 points Arkansas?
27.
27. Okay, so 27 points and a win against Texas. Yeah, I think I wouldn't take it. I wouldn't say, you know, we're bringing Bobby P back because of it. But, you know, it'd be a pretty fun way to end the season, right? I mean, a little light at the end of the tunnel, you know.
They'd come out and be like, see what we're capable of, you know.
I mean,
that's a rallying cry, nothing
It'd
else.
It'd make that Mizzou game a little more interesting, too, you know. I just feel like, man, what if Arkansas just devil's advocate, man? It's two big wins at the end of the year.
Well, you know who always makes it interesting, Shane?
Who's that?
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Stephen Up.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Thank you. He gifted Kiana Wearily. I hope I didn't butcher that. Kiana, welcome
to the family.
Family.
That's my middle name.
Ooh.
Shane Kiani.
Well, hey, speaking of Texas.
Yeah.
Texas father. He had a really interesting comment. I don't really want to talk much Charlotte, Georgia, but mm-hmm. I just thought this was hilarious when he was asked, hey, you talk about, you know, our players, or your players aren't just signing up for a check. What happens if these guys, you know, what if they're not ready for all this toughness? This comment of the year, perhaps, from old Kirby.
How do you balance? You talked about after the game, guys wanting a check. You don't have guys that just want to check. You have guys that want to play physical. If you have really hard physical practices, how do you balance keeping kids from saying, this is just too much, I'm ready to hit the portal, I'll go somewhere else where it's easier? But you still have to make them physical, so you have to kind of put them through that grind. How do you balance it?
We schedule them. The ones that want to leave, we schedule them. We try to get them on the schedule, because when they want to leave because they're not physical, that means they're probably going to a place that's not physical. We like those places. We like to play them. We prefer them, actually, if you can get them on the schedule. So it's one of those deals that you don't run from hard in life. You run from hard in life, you'll find more hard.
Oh, so I was thinking, oh, how many Georgia players transferred to Texas? I mean, there must have been a couple of them, you know?
Oh, man, I love it. Because that's been kind of their motto this season, right? Which it always is. Kirby always has tough football teams, but it just feels like it's a little, I don't know, like these are – you ever watch that movie Longest Yard? And no, it was what was the one in Texas? Star Fighting Armadillos? And then the state penitentiary comes in, you know, and they're just like beating up each other. Shit. I feel like that's kind of nothing to do with prison in Georgia, but maybe that's a terrible example. Uh-oh. But just ass whooping, you know, that just kind of feels like what Georgia's doing this year. All right, I'm going to shut up now.
Hey, shout out James Kelly. Appreciate the $20 donation, Shane. I know I'm late, but been heartbroken watching Carolina blow a 30-3 lead. Well, I got good news for you, James, in case you missed it. Again, we're going clip heavy because it's slate, Shade. But Baber says next year, playoffs.
This week, the record is what it is, but the opportunity to go compete, that hasn't changed and won't. And also understanding, too, that we're all sick and we don't want to feel this feeling again. And I realize that 1 year ago, Rick, we were sitting here tonight getting ready to play Wofford, and we're all dialed into the playoff rankings to see where we're ranked, and we're not there right now. But I do know next year at this time, we're going to be sitting here next year on this Tuesday night watching the playoff rankings to see where we are in the rankings show, and we're going to be firmly in the mix for a college football playoff berth next year at this time. And we're all sick about this feeling, but we're not going to go through this thing again, and we're going to go finish this season out the right way, send these guys out the right way, and then the minute that thing hits zero on the clock after the Thanksgiving Day game or Thanksgiving weekend game, we're full speed ahead on 2026.
All right, Shane, I've seen the reaction. I already know. I've already seen it in the comments with the cousins, Shane. This clown, get the hell out of here. What a loser. I get it, right?
Yeah.
But I actually like this, Shane. I like a guy saying, hey, our goal is to make a damn playoff. He's going the opposite of old Sarkisian. Disappointment. Yeah. Disappointment, too. No, he's saying, oh, man, this has been a horrible year, but we're going to get it fixed, and next year we're going to be in that damn playoff. That's what I want to hear from Bieber. Now, getting it done is another thing, but
yeah.
Talk is cheap. But at least he's, I don't know. What I'm hearing, I like that from him.
You ever played Uno?
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of that draw four card. You know, he's just holding on to it. He didn't want to use it this season. He was saving it, but shit got so bad he had to pull out that draw four. Next year's our year. You know who did this also last year, Mike? Who was the coach that said, we're going to the – college football championship game. He's no longer employed.
Is his name Brian Kelly?
Yeah. So he pulled the card out last year and it didn't work. So,
well, that's true. That's true. Scott says, hey, wake me up when Beamer wins 10 games. Old Braxton, I think our new head coach is already on the team. Sean Elliott, what do you guys think? You know, he was interim there for a while, right?
Yeah.
He was, I believe, after Muschamp got fired. I think he was the interim, right? So, I think he was at Georgia State or something like that. So he does got other head coaching. That wouldn't be the worst move, but I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that. And then shout out James. Appreciate you. $20 more. How much trust do we put in him? I mean, that's fair. I think I'm on an island, Shane, but I still believe in Beamer a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's diminished, but I still believe in him. Am I crazy?
No. And do you have any Elko comments? Are you playing any Elko? I'm just curious. So. Okay, well, you may be playing the clip that you sent me earlier, and I was thinking about something that he said, and I feel like part of the problem that South Carolina has is not so much Shane Beamer as it is the coaches that are around him, and I get sometimes it works, sometimes it don't, and I feel like if there's going to be some massive adjustments, instead of firing your head coach, let's go out here and spend some money on some guys that can make us offense better, you know? I mean, yeah. You got the defense.
So let's kick it over to Elko then, because then people will really get it. So obviously Mike Elko just got a contract extension.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this was part of it, but this is pretty awesome, and I think this gives you a window into who this guy is and how hard he's going to fight to keep A&M at the top of the SEC standing for years to come.
On the same thing, you kind of touched on it, but the as it said, part of that is extended pool for your support staff, for your assistants. How important is that to make sure that as you increase in value, that their value increases as well?
Yeah, it's critical. It's absolutely critical. I think one of the biggest things that we were able to get done was a bonus structure for the assistants that kind of married something similar to the bonus structure that I had. I thought one of the things that was not right was the bonus structure that I was going to receive had we qualified for the playoffs that was not on par with what the assistants, and certainly I'm no more valuable to this thing than they are. And so we were able to get that done immediately. And so that'll go in effect immediately. And so that, you know, if this thing continues and we wind up getting rewarded with a playoff berth, those coaches who were a huge part of it will get rewarded at a very similar level. And that was really important to me. And how do you
nailed it? Nailed it.
That's how we do it, just so they know.
Yeah.
I give whatever bonuses I get, I give it to Shane. Yeah. The exact same.
And I say, no, get Steve on the call. Get Steve. He says, what about Marla? I said, nah. Keep Marla off of it. I feel like when you look back at some of the best coaches in the world to ever do this thing, they are surrounded by great assistants, right? But they also, that head coach created those. You know, I feel like there's molding, right? There's teaching. Nick Saban, we talk about the tree all the time, but I feel like sometimes your tree, man, you know, you need something, you need some help. And I feel like that's kind of where Beamer's at. And so much, as much as I'd like to keep growing from within, sometimes you're going to have to go outside the box. And I feel like we're at that point there in Columbia, and it's, you're seeing a guy like Elko already see and say, hey, how do we keep these guys around? We pay them. And that's exactly what Elko's doing. So I'm just impressed. Man, the guy just keeps winning. Just keeps winning.
Right. And in a business full of egomaniacs, looking at you, Kiffin.
Yeah.
It's good to see a guy like Mike Elko succeed. You know what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm rooting for him. I didn't think he was I'll be the first to tell you, I didn't think he was the best hire.
Right? Should have got Mark Stoops.
I mean, there was probably a few pods you can find us talking about it, you know, because at the time, you know, he's coming off 10 win seasons, and I'm pretty sure
you could go find that, Shane.
Oh yeah,
because I put it out there, Mark Stoops to Kentucky, and I said this is going to be a damn disaster, and then we did a couple days later.
Yeah,
Mike Elko hired, and I can't remember if you were on it or not, but I did go back and rewatch that, and I said this is going to be a damn good hire. So. It's up there. Go so check
you,
it out.
Yeah, you left that one up. Just
I left them up. They're all up. I don't delete any of them.
No, I mess with you. I do wonder, and we're not talking Coach Stoops, but I mean, Coach Stoops have him at 9 wins right now. He just needs a chance, guys.
Well, you know who else needs a chance, Shane?
Who's that?
You! Oh, go check him out, Shane. I'm starting to really love my Huel over here,
nice.
Shane. This is 2 days in a row. I've used it as a meal replacement here during my lunch hour. Buddy, I'm telling you, I'm slimming down already because I'm thinking about this Thanksgiving and all the food I'm going to consume. So go check them out, Huel.com. You will not be disappointed. Promo code THATSEC for 15% off, Shane. They sent me over some product. I like it so much. I'm going to spend my own money to get me some more Huel because I'm going to keep his health train rolling. I'm going to need to lose a lot of weight after Thanksgiving. Go check them out. Huel's a complete meal, all the nutrients and vitamins you need, 27 vitamins and minerals. They got lots of different flavors, Shane. You let me know which one you want. I'll send some your way. Chocolate peanut butter, strawberry banana, cookies and cream, iced coffee. You can't go wrong. And they even got the greens, Shane.
Ooh.
I know you're not a vegetable guy. You suck these down. You don't need to eat vegetables. I mean, it's a win-win over at Huel. Go check them out. Promo code THATSEC for 15% off. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. Before Huel, after Huel.
And then I know Shane also loves his Bubs
Naturals.
BubsNaturals.com. Same promo code, THATSEC to get 20% off, Shane. How are your joints feeling with your Bubs collagen?
Good. It almost felt like I was afraid I was going to get drug tested this week because I was like, this can't be right. But I'm telling you, ever since I started taking this, and I've had collagen in the past. The one thing that I absolutely love, because they always say it's tasteless, it's odorless, whatever. This shit is, man. This shit is spot on. You could put it in water and drink it down. It is perfect. And like I said, my joints have never felt better, Mike. So check it out. Promo code THATSEC.
Yeah, 20% off Bubs. You can't beat it. You know what? Live longer, better, stronger.
Oh, I thought Tony said my hair's starting to come back out. I don't know. That may be a Huel effect. I don't know.
Well, I told him during the morning show that you have long, beautiful blonde hair now because of your Bubs. You just shaving it for the consistency.
I'm like Billy Napier. I ain't got time for that, you know? Do you think he's growing his hair out now that he has time for that?
I think so. Well, Shane, if you had any hair come in, this game may cause you to pull it out, Shane. Tennessee at Florida, the mile-walking game, as some like to call it, Shane. Tennessee favored. Oh, man, this is always dangerous. Always dangerous when them Vols are favored over Florida, particularly in the swamp. What could go wrong? Shane, 7-3 versus 3-7. Everything's telling you to probably take them Tennessee Vols, but I don't know. How are you feeling about this one?
God, the same I feel every time we go to the swamp. We should win. This is what I keep saying all week. There's no reason we can't win. No reason we can't win. No reason we shouldn't win. A, B, C, D, and then you start seeing guys getting healthy at the right time, right? You see, the place will probably be sold out because Tennessee always loses down there in the swamp. So
it has. Today they announced a sellout.
See, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, this feels like their championship game, right? Joey Aguilar, man, come on, man. I need you to just be a little consistent in this one and go down there and get a win. When's the last time it happened?
2003 in the swamp.
Jeez, 2003. I'm trying to think. I was 21 years. I was just, well, I was already drinking, but legally drinking that year. You know the first beer I bought on my way to your house, because I got my ID, just turned 21, and the first thing I want to do was go to a gas station and buy a brewski, right?
Yeah.
Because I want to get carded. Card me. So I go in there. I get a can of, do you remember?
Knowing you, I would say Coors.
Foster's. You remember they had those big-ass cans?
Yeah,
I bought one of them big-ass Foster cans. I went up there. I got my ID in my pocket. I'm ready. And he says, that'll be $3 and whatever. And I'm like, and? And he's like, you want to use a card? Like, damn, he didn't even ID me. So I could have been doing this for weeks now. So anyway.
Shout out James Kelly. Gave us 10 more bucks. Shane, Tennessee all day. Gator tail sounds good.
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Well, does it sound good, Shane, though, if Joey Aguilar throws a pick or two?
No.
He's thrown four in the last two games. How important is it that he doesn't turn the ball over?
Super, super important. Because, again, for me, Mike, it's about the swamp. It's about that sold-out crowd. We got to get the crowd out of it. And you do that by not doing turnovers. You coming out up 14 points early, that would be fun. But you better believe DJ's looking forward to this game, too, because for some reason he becomes Joe Montana during this one. And I'm expecting no different here. So this is going to be a really good game, Mike. And if I'm worried, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's at 11 right now.
And I know, you know, Florida's obviously, they've been awful. They fired their coach. But have they? The last six games, Shane, all conference games, right?
Yeah.
They've had the lead in the fourth quarter in four of them. Ole Miss, they were leading.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, they were leading. Mississippi State, they won, of course. Texas, they won, of course. So, again, Ole Miss is marching their ass to the playoffs, same as Georgia. Florida had the lead in the fourth quarter. Now, you don't get moral victories for leading in the fourth quarter. But the point being, there's an excellent chance that they lead Tennessee in the fourth quarter. And if that's a scenario, I think if you could guarantee me that Florida leads at some point in the fourth quarter, I said, well, hell, they're going to win this damn game. Because I think you hit the nail on the head. I think Tennessee's got to come out fast.
Yep.
Got to jump on them. Because if this is a four-quarter type game, I don't know, Shane. I don't know. Florida's, if they can stop the run, I know Lacey just went off on them, but if they can stop Tennessee's running game, I think they got a real shot to win this one.
I like old Mace here. He says, Shane, the quarterback guru, don't throw picks. you are right, cuz. And Mike, just battered ball syndrome. I'm telling you right now, if Tennessee is down in the fourth quarter, they're losing this thing. It's going to happen. In fact, if they're not up by two scores going into the fourth quarter, I'm pretty confident they're going to lose it as well, just because that's what always happens, right? So now this roster is different. They don't see it that way. This is a team that's beat Florida. This is a team that, you know, maybe doesn't fear the swamp as much as us old heads do, you know, but
right.
I feel like, how can you not sense it a little more urgency this week on both sides, right? I feel like you can sense it with the fans, you'll sense it with the coaches, and then that will drift down to the players, and there'll be a little extra juice in this game, Mike. And that's why I'm saying, as much as I would like for it not to be a game, everybody knows that it will be.
And then, you know, so we've been mostly pessimistic here, Shane.
Yeah.
If Tennessee were to win at Florida,
mm-hmm.
turn around and beat perhaps the best Vanderbilt team of all time,
uh-huh.
and go 9-3, how satisfied will you be with this season for Tennessee? Because, hell, I mean, I get it. They fell short of where you want them to be.
Yeah.
But there'd be some things to celebrate with this 9-3 type year.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't. I wanted 10-2 because – I'm a homer, but 9-3 is kind of like where I thought we would kind of land anyway, right? So, but I thought it would be this game. I thought this would be the third loss, right? And Oklahoma at home, wasn't expecting that. And so I feel like 8-4 would be not total disappointment, but you would lose a lot of momentum going into 2026. I feel like, again, finishing strong, two big wins here in the swamp, and then, like you said, Vanderbilt keeping them out of the college football playoffs. That would be big for Hopple and company, and then you could build off that going into next season.
Yeah. Hey, shout out Token. He gave us $2. Daily reminder, he ain't leaving. And he also gifted a membership.
Thank you, cuz.
To Joshua Shoe. This is a long one. Shulathes. I hope I got that right. Joshua, welcome
to the family.
So I don't believe we've had you on, Shane, since all this Kiffin drama.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that? Thoughts on anybody that missed it? I'm sure most of you have seen it. But old Kiffin has denied the reports that Ole Miss has given him an ultimatum that they have to know what he's doing by the Egg Bowl next week.
Yeah.
But it has been confirmed, Shane, and they're not hiding it. Kiffin's family, they were down there at LSU. They were checking out Gainesville. So they are actively considering their options, to put it mildly here. Thoughts on all this wildness here?
I hate it for the fans, you know? There's a reason, and I love it, and I'm not... I can't remember who first said it, but you could see why we threw mustard bottles, right? You could see why we threw golf balls. And if he leaves Ole Miss, as much as Tennessee hates Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss will hate him 10 times more. Why? Because they're on a monumental run right now, Mike. Something that they couldn't finish last season, they're on track to do this season, and that's compete for a college football playoff. This is a football team that's never made an SEC championship. You really have an opportunity. You're a few games away from bringing a national championship home to Oxford, something that your great-great-grandchildren will be talking about, you know, a true legacy. And so the longer we drag this shit out, when something bad does happen ultimately to Ole Miss, and I'm not saying it's going to, but if it does, we're going to look back to this sloppy coaching and we're going to say, this is the problem. This was always the problem. Just like we thought he grew up when he did that Tennessee to USC mix, and then he goes down to FAU, and then he goes and bids his time, or no, Bama, then FAU. You know what I'm saying? It's like he had to, it's like, you saw growth, and that's what we talked about, Lane Kiffin. He's on these shows. We're talking about, oh, look how much, like he's mastered this thing. And then he's back to childhood behavior. So, if you want the job, take the job. If you want to leave, then fucking leave, man. At this point, I'm over it. And I'm not even an Ole Miss fan, but I got plenty of mustard bottles, Mike.
But what if it is his heart? And I'm sure this is accurate, Shane. He wants to coach Ole Miss in the playoff. Has he earned that right? Even if he's decided and not told anybody that he's leaving for another job.
Yeah. But again, I think an announcement would be like, I'm leaving, right? Come in there. Like, say he wants the Florida job. I'm not saying that's the one he's taking, but let's just say he does it. He comes back. He tells the AD. He tells the president, he said, this is what we're doing. I'd like to stick around. And if you'll have me, I'm going to go to my locker room. I'm going to say, hey, listen, kids, we're about to do something special. I'm all in. I am committed to going elsewhere at the end of this season. But moving forward, there'll be no plane rides on the weekends. There'll be no mysterious tweets, no poetry, no hot yoga shit. This is going to be me dialed in. And we're gonna do something special here, and I'm gonna end on a good note. I feel like that would be the right thing to do instead of this double dutch, man, in or out, whatever, you know. Because again, if something bad happens and you drop a game in the playoffs, we're all gonna have this asterisk beside Lane Kiffin in 2025.
Yeah. What? Now the only way I could see that working out, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's even possible, but I guess. I mean, this is all unprecedented, right? If he wanted to stay for the playoff, mm-hmm. and the players demanded that he did, because I think they would – they hold some power here.
Yeah.
They could decide not to play, or I mean, who knows. But, you know, what if they demanded he's there? And then Ole Miss said, okay, but while you're here – you can stay for the playoff, but we're going to hire a new coach.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden you got John Summerall and Lane Kiffin, head coach of Ole Miss at the same time.
Yeah.
Could you see that happening?
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's allowed, but.
Yeah. I think you could maybe kind of like the plane rides here, kind of get it out there. And, you know, that Summerall, I mean, if Summerall leaves, And we're just using Summerall because you like him. And we,
well,
because
I'm telling you, Shane, he's going to be either Ole Miss or Auburn coach, I think.
Yeah. Well, if that happens, I could definitely say. I think more importantly, though, is Lane Kiffin. So Lane Kiffin, as a business decision, deciding to stay for a national championship run is super important. But it will hurt him at the next job during that, you know, that little window. So I think that it needs to get out so that, you know, his team can go ahead and start working on that recruiting side for the next position, if you will. So it's like you don't want to leave. If it feels like two teams may get screwed in this scenario, maybe three possibly, the longer we're playing this limbo game. But at the end of the day, I don't know if there is a clean, pretty way to salvage a season, because it feels like two teams are going to lose a little steam in 26. Does that make sense?
Hey, shout out Tim. He's come full circle, Shane. Yeah. He's one of these Kiffin ain't leaving shut up.
Yeah.
To Summerall's coming, baby. and that old base. Hopefully, Shane will give us some guidance to dealing with Kiffin abandoning us.
Yeah. You're going to hate him. You're going to hate him for years. And there's some Vol fans that still to this day absolutely hate. Now, I've moved on. It helps that we've had a better, you know, had a good coach and had some success on the football field. But, you know, I get it. I get it. You're going to burn some freaking couches.
Would it be the worst, though, for them if he went to LSU? It's like the team they hate the most.
That would be, yeah, Florida.
I mean, I guess Mississippi State, but they're kind of, it's truth, though. They're just, like, not relevant right now.
Florida feels a little less personal, right?
Right, right.
You know, LSU, I love the memes of, you know, that picture of Hillary Clinton in that little room, you know, Mama Kiffin touring the Baton Rouge facility. It's like, yeah, I think that... you know, that would be a stinger for sure, but I don't know, man. I mean, Lane's going to be able – he can do whatever he wants. I mean, he's got control right now.
Hey, so I think that is – oh, we didn't even talk about Kentucky-Vanderbilt, Shane.
Yeah.
Huge game. Vanderbilt trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. Kentucky trying to keep his momentum. Man, you should have seen Roush on here. He's doing dances. He thinks they're beating him. And he made a good point, Shane. Vanderbilt has not beaten Kentucky at home since 2015. So Kentucky almost always wins this game in Nashville. How huge is this game? But really for both these teams and the momentum they currently have, but it's just absolutely massive for Vanderbilt, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. You talked about Texas, Arkansas. This is you know, looking forward to Texas A&M, kind of looking ahead. And Vanderbilt could be looking ahead to Tennessee. Hey, we're going to beat Kentucky. Shit, we're going to whoop up on Kentucky. We need to worry about Tennessee. We need to worry about our cause. Should we be booking hotels? You know, this is the stuff they're talking about up there in Nashville for once. And they deserve it, Mike. God, they deserve it. And I got a lot of miles to walk because of it, but... You can absolutely not overlook this Kentucky football team. This ain't your papaw's team. This ain't the 5 months ago Kentucky team. This is a brand new Kentucky team that is wild. They're making strides, playing out of their damn mind right now, and they can absolutely beat you. So this is going to be a really good game, man.
Isn't it wild when we did the Vanderbilt fall camp preview?
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to be optimistic. And I said Vanderbilt 8-4. I think that's as high as I went. And did you laugh and laugh and laugh? Hell, never in a million years. I mean, I would have just sounded stupid if I said 10-2. You know what?
Yeah,
they might do it.
There's a clickbait, Mike. Yeah.
Of course, if they lose out, then I'll be dead on.
Yeah, I did not see this at all. I even in like best case scenario, I think the ceiling I had at 6 wins or something. So, yeah, this is unreal. And Vanderbilt's doing it, man. If they're quietly doing it, you know, that's the sad part is I don't like we just spent 20 minutes talking about Oklahoma and their shot at college football playoff. You know, we talk about Georgia, we talk about Bama, you know, staying in it. It's like, but No one is talking about Vanderbilt sitting there with only two losses and an opportunity to finish the season in the Southeastern Conference with 10 wins. That's unreal.
Shout out Derek. He says, the one time Shane doesn't agree with Mike, it cost him 5 to 7 miles away.
Damn it. He's hey, on it.
Now, again, the rest of these games are kind of jokes, right?
Yeah.
But I just wanted to bring this to your attention because it's interesting. Auburn playing Mercer this weekend. So Ashton Daniels, the quarterback that came in, and he looked great against Vanderbilt. So he has played 3 games already. So the plan, as I understand it, is they're not going to play him in this game because they know they don't need him. They want to play him in the Iron Bowl so he can keep his red shirt. But is that playing with fire at all? Because I guess they're going to let Deuce Knight get some playing time, which I think is good.
Yeah.
They'll probably let Jackson Arnold play. I mean, it literally doesn't matter who. It's not really important for this Mercer game, but there's a hell of a lot of importance on this Iron Bowl with Alabama trying to get to the playoff, DJ Durkin hoping to land this job.
Yeah.
How interesting is it that maybe they've identified their starting quarterback, but they're like, all right, you're going to sit out this one and we'll just unleash you for the Iron Bowl. That's kind of weird, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't like that. I'd like the momentum. You're right. Keep it rolling. Stay warm. I just feel like you're going to, I don't know, come out sluggish during that Iron Bowl, and we're going to sit back and say, this is why. So, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of this one, Mike.
Yeah, it's just, it's pretty weird. You know
what? Your dog's not either. He's pissed off.
Damn, he would have finally tracked me down. You know,
every time you talk about freeze, you know, your dog starts going off.
I've trained him well.
It's like how they teach him German, you know, like freeze.
Any of these other games, any other thoughts? I mean, they should all be massive blowouts.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, obviously you want to stay healthy. I think that's important. But, yeah, some of these other ones, these are good nap games, if you will. So I'm trying to think if there's going to be any. What would be the closest cupcake game that you think? Is it the South Carolina one that you're looking at potentially?
Maybe, but I hate to say it. Maybe LSU because they can't really score.
Yeah.
And Steven says Western Kentucky. Remember the old Tennessee offensive coordinator, Tyson Helton? He's the head coach there. So they can score a little bit. I don't honestly think that's going to be, you know, a super competitive game. But if I'm looking at one, I'm looking at Western Kentucky LSU.
Yeah, that could be it. That could be it. What about Georgia? No.
That line, Shane, it was 45. It's down to 43.
Yeah, that's a lot of points, man. I'm looking more gambling. Maybe that's the one I put some money on.
Thomas said Mercer's 9-1. Uh-oh. Auburn on upset alert.
Damn. Roy D. Mercer. How big a boy are you? You remember that one?
All right, buddy. Anything else before we log off here for until the playoff rankings?
No. So you're going to jump back on for the rankings as they're going on, or what are you?
Yeah, as they're going on, and then just give quick thoughts. I don't know the time though. That's again we are handicapped by this freaking basketball game. So I think it's going to be about 30 to 40 minutes, perhaps.
All right, I may be able to get on here with you. So tomorrow, mailbag. Be sure to get those mailbag questions in. So if you're official cousin, you get those answered. Just be sure to do it on Twitters if it's up and running, or you can do it on YouTube here. So it's a little bit easier for Mike on YouTube. JP, fun fact. Oh.
He said he used to work with Roy D. Mercer.
He just died this year. Damn, that sucks. Rocket Man, that's 107. I think it was 107, or maybe it was WIV. 103.5. They'd be like, Roy, man, you remember that back in the day? We didn't have CDs and shit. We had all these old cassettes. It was like Jeff Foxworthy or, you know, funny, you know, Roy D. I remember somebody had a Roy D. And man, I'd listen to them over and over again. It was hilarious. Kids listen to it now. They're like, this sucks, you know, because it's not violent enough. But back then, that was pretty damn violent. Roy come after you, man. I'll whoop your ass. How big a boy are you?
shout outs. Thanks to JP, Cousin JR, Serial Killer, All Day Trey, Sooner, Spludge, James Kelly, Scott Fritz, Braxton All, Dylan with Dylan, and Toki.
Thank you, Cousin.
We appreciate you. We appreciate each and every one of you.
And we'll Ollie, another shout out. Thank you, Cuz.
Man, it's making me thirsty. But it's it. Hey, we'll see you here in a little bit for the playoff review.
See you guys. Go Balls.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.